Strange Memories of Death. I woke up this morning and felt the chill of October in the apartment, as if the seasons understood the calendar. What had I dreamed? Vain thoughts of a woman I had loved. Something depressed me. I took a mental audit. Everything was, in fact, fine. This would be a good month. But I felt the chill. Oh, Christ, I thought. Today is the day they evict the Lysol lady. Nobody likes the Lysol lady. She is insane. No one has ever heard her say a word, and she won't look at you. Sometimes when you are descending the stairs, she is coming up, and she turns wordlessly around and retreats and uses the elevator instead. Everybody can smell the Lysol she uses. Magical horrors contaminate her apartment, apparently, so she uses Lysol. God damn. As I fix coffee, I think, maybe the owners have already evicted her, at dawn, while I still slept. While I was having vain dreams about a woman I loved who dumped me. Of course, I was dreaming about the hateful Lysol lady and the authorities coming to her door at 5 a.m. The new owners are a huge firm of real estate developers. They do it at dawn. The Lysol lady hides in her apartment and knows that October is here. October 1st is here. And they are going to bust in and throw her and her stuff out in the street. Now, is she going to speak? I imagine her pressed against the wall in silence. However, it is not as simple as that. Al Newcomb, the sales representative of South Orange Investments, has told me that the Lysol lady went to legal aid. This is bad news, because it screws up our doing anything for her. She is crazy, but not crazy enough. If it could be proved that she did not understand the situation, a team from Orange County Mental Health could come in as her advocates and explain to South Orange Investments that you cannot legally evict a person with diminished capacity. Why the hell did she get it together to go to legal aid? The time is 9 a.m. I can go downstairs to the sales office and ask Al Newcomb if they've evicted the Lysol lady yet, or if she is in her apartment, hiding in silence, waiting. They are evicting her because the building, made up of 56 units, has been converted to condominiums. Virtually everyone has moved since we were all legally notified 4 months ago. You have 120 days to leave or buy your apartment, and South Orange Investments will pay $200 of your moving costs. This is the law. You also have first refusal rights on your rental unit. I am buying mine. I am staying. For $52,000, I get to be around when they evict the Lysol lady, who is crazy, and doesn't have $52,000. Now I wish I had moved. Going downstairs to the newspaper vending machine, I buy today's Los Angeles Times. A girl who shot up a schoolyard of children because she didn't like Mondays is pleading guilty. She will soon get probation. She took a gun and shot schoolchildren because, in effect, she had nothing else to do. Well, today is Monday. She is in court on a Monday, the day she hates. Is there no limit to madness? I wonder about myself. I am staying because I am both afraid to move, afraid of something new, of change, and because I am lazy. No, that isn't it. I like this building, and I live near friends and near stores. That means something to me. I've been here 3.5 years. It is a good, solid building, with security gates and deadbolt locks. I have 2 cats, and they like the enclosed patio. They can go outside and be safe from dogs. Probably, I am thought of as the cat man. So everyone has moved out. But the Lysol lady and the cat man stay on. What bothers me is that I know the only thing separating me from the Lysol lady, who is crazy, is the money in my savings account. Money is the official seal of sanity. The Lysol lady, perhaps, is afraid to move. She is like me. She just wants to stay where she has stayed for several years, doing what she's been doing. She uses the laundry machines a lot, washing and spin-drying her clothes again and again. This is where I encounter her. I am coming into the laundry room, and she is there at the machines to be sure no one steals her laundry. Why won't she look at you, keeping her face turned away? What purpose is served? I sense hate. She hates every other human being. But now, consider her situation. Those she hates are going to close in on her. What fear she must feel. She gazes about in her apartment, waiting for the knock on the door. She watches the clock and understands. To the north of us, in Los Angeles, the conversion of rental units to condominiums has been effectively blocked by the city council. Those who rent won out. This is a great victory, but it does not help the Lysol lady. This is Orange County. Money rules. The very poor live to the east of me, the Mexicans in their barrio. Sometimes when our security gates open to admit cars, the Chicano women run in with baskets of dirty laundry. They want to use our machines, having none of their own. The people who lived here in the building resented this. When you have even a little money, money enough to live in a modern, full-security, all-electric building, you resent a great deal. Well, I have to find out if the Lysol lady has been evicted yet. There's no way to tell by looking at her window. The drapes are always shut. So I go downstairs to the sales office to see Al. However, Al is not there. The office is locked. Then I remember that Al flew to Sacramento on the weekend to get some crucial legal papers that the state lost. He hasn't returned. If the Lysol lady wasn't crazy, I could knock on her door and talk to her. I could find out that way. But this is precisely the locus of the tragedy. Any knock will frighten her. This is her condition. This is the illness itself. So I stand by the fountain that the developers have constructed, and I admire the planter boxes of flowers which they have had brought in. They have really made the building look good. It formerly looked like a prison. Now it has become a garden. The developers put a great deal of money into painting and landscaping and, in fact, rebuilding the whole entrance. Water and flowers and French doors, and the Lysol lady silent in her apartment, waiting for the knock. Perhaps I could tape a note to the Lysol lady's door. It could read, "Madam, I am sympathetic to your position and would like to assist you. If you wish me to assist you, I live upstairs in apartment C1. How would I sign it? Fellow loony, maybe. Fellow loony with $52,000 who is here legally, whereas you are, in the eyes of the law, a squatter. As of midnight last night. Although the day before, it was as much your apartment as mine is mine." I go back upstairs to my apartment with the idea of writing a letter to the woman I once loved and last night dreamed about. All sorts of phrases pass through my mind. I will recreate the vanished relationship with one letter. Such is the power of my words. What crap. She is gone forever. I don't even have her current address. Laboriously, I could track her down through mutual friends and then say what? "My darling, I have finally come to my senses. I realize the full extent of my indebtedness to you. Considering the short time we were together, you did more for me than anyone else in my life. It is evident to me that I have made a disastrous error. Could we have dinner together?" As I repeat this hyperbole in my mind, the thought comes to me that it would be horrible but funny if I wrote that letter, and then by mistake or design, taped it to the Lysol lady's door. How would she react? Jesus Christ, it would kill her. Or cure her. Meanwhile, I could write my departed loved one, Die ferne Geliebte, as follows. "Madam, you are totally nuts. Everyone within miles is aware of it. Your problem is of your own making. Ship up, shape out, get your act together, borrow some money, hire a better lawyer, buy a gun, shoot up a schoolyard. If I can assist you, I live in apartment C1. Maybe the plight of the Lysol lady is funny, and I am too depressed by the coming of autumn to realize it. Maybe there will be some good mail today. After all, yesterday was a mail holiday. I will get 2 days of mail today. That will cheer me up. What, in fact, is going on is that I am feeling sorry for myself. Today is Monday, and like the girl in court pleading guilty, I hate Mondays. Brenda Spencer pleaded guilty to the charge of shooting 11 people, 2 of whom died. She is 17 years old, small, and very pretty. with red hair. She wears glasses and looks like a child, like one of those she shot. The thought enters my mind that perhaps the Lysol lady has a gun in her apartment, a thought that should have come to me a long time ago. Perhaps South Orange Investments thought of it. Perhaps this is why Al Newcomb's office is locked up today. He is not in Sacramento, but in hiding. Although, of course, he could be in hiding in Sacramento, accomplishing two things at once. An excellent therapist I once knew made the point that in almost all cases of a criminal psychotic acting out, there was an easier alternative that the disturbed person overlooked. Brenda Spencer, for instance, could have walked to the local supermarket and bought a carton of chocolate milk instead of shooting 11 people, most of them children. The psychotic person actually chooses the more difficult path. He forces his will uphill. It is not true that he takes the line of least resistance, but he thinks he does. There precisely lies his error. The basis of psychosis, in a nutshell, is the chronic inability to see the easy way out. All the behavior, all that constitutes psychotic activity, and the psychotic lifestyle stems from this perceptual flaw. Sitting in isolation and silence in her antiseptic apartment, waiting for the inexorable knock on the door, the Lysol lady has contrived to put herself in the most difficult circumstances possible. What was easy was made hard. What was hard was transmuted, finally, into the impossible. And there, the psychotic lifestyle ends. When the impossible closes in, and there are no options at all, even difficult ones. That is the rest of the definition of psychosis. At the end, there lies a dead end. And at that point, the psychotic person freezes. If you've ever seen it happen, well, it is an amazing sight. The person congeals like a motor that has seized. It occurs suddenly. One moment the person is in motion, the pistons are going up and down frantically. And then it's an inert block. That is because the path has run out for that person, the path he probably got onto years before. It is kinetic death. Place there is none, St. Augustine wrote. We go backward and forward, and there is no place. And then the cessation comes, and there is only place. The spot where the Lysol lady has trapped herself was her own apartment, but it was no longer her own apartment. She had found a place at which to psychologically die, and then South Orange Investments had taken it away from her. They had robbed her of her own grave. What I can't get out of my mind is the notion that my fate is tied to that of the Lysol lady. A physical entry in the computer at Mutual Savings divides us, and it is a mythical division. It is real only so long as people such as South Orange Investments, specifically South Orange Investments, are willing to agree that it is real. It seems to me to be nothing more than a social convention, such as wearing matching socks. In another way, it's like the value of gold. The value of gold is what people agree on, which is like a game played by children. Let's agree that that tree is third base. Suppose my television set worked because my friends and I agreed that it worked. We could sit before a blank screen forever that way. In that case, it could be said that the Lysol lady's failure lay in not having entered into a compact with the rest of us, a consensus. Underlying everything else, there is this unwritten contract to which the Lysol lady is not a party. But I am amazed to think that the failure to enter into an agreement palpably childish and irrational leads inevitably to kinetic death, total stoppage of the organism. Argued this way, one could say that the Lysol lady had failed to be a child. She was too adult. She couldn't or wouldn't play a game. The element which had taken over her life was the element of the grim. She never smiled. None had ever seen her do anything but glower in a vague, undirected way. Perhaps then she played a grimmer game rather than no game. Perhaps her game was one of combat, in which case she now had what she wanted, even though she was losing. It was at least a situation she understood. South Orange Investments had entered the Lysol lady's world. Perhaps being a squatter, rather than a tenant, was satisfying to her. Maybe we all secretly will everything that happens to us. In that case, does the psychotic person will his own ultimate kinetic death, his own dead-end path? Does he play to lose? I didn't see Al Newcomb that day, but I did see him the next day. He had returned from Sacramento and opened up his office. "Is the woman in B-15 still there?" I asked him. "Or did you evict her?" "Mrs. Archer?" Newcomb said. "Oh, the other morning she moved out. She's gone. The Santa Ana Housing Authority found her a place over on Bristol." He leaned back in his swivel chair and crossed his legs. His slacks, as always, were sharply creased. "She went to them a couple of weeks ago." "An apartment she can afford?" I said. "They picked up the bill. They're paying her rent. She talked them into it. She's a hardship case." "Christ," I said. "I wish someone would pay my rent." "You're not paying rent," Newcomb said. "You're buying your apartment."